Hey, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's the Main Green Nation podcast for the summer. This is episode 61, only 61. With me, this time, is Mr. Greg Godecker. He wasn't with me last time when I did episode 60 talking about RV. But he's here now. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's good to be with you. It's been a long time since I've talked to some people about North Texas stuff on your podcast.
Let's, instead of kind of dilly-dallying and catching up, if people want to catch up, you can tweet at us. Say, hey, man, how you been? Well, I've been good, you know? We'll have that conversation there. Right here, let's get into it. Lots of stuff has happened since we last had a conversation, including, you know, like the spring game came and went. We have, you know, like the normal summertime roster speculations. I don't really like to get into that because so much can happen between official roster posting in July and, you know, the first snap of the season. Hell, even like right. the 150th snap of the season. So, you know, I don't really like to play that game. Although there's very little else to do at the moment. So that's why people take that up as a hobby.
I would say in terms of the roster, kind of waiting till we start camp. Once you start camp and school started, things become a little bit more official.
So there are those things, and I think the big news of the week was at Big 12 Media Days. Big 12 announced, "Hey, guess what? We're probably trying to expand, y'all guys." And so this has got everybody who loves realignment talk, and I don't really excited and speculating, putting together their fantasy conferences. And I think that where it concerns us is in what happens to Conference USA and maybe what happens to the American Conference. So it kind of breaks down thusly. Big 12 expands. It's probably going to be BYU and maybe Colorado State, although it might be Memphis, although it might be somebody from the American Conference. I don't think it's going to be Houston. But Houston fans are like, we're going to be in the Big 12. It's going to be so great.
It could be a handful of teams. I mean, if they're talking taking two teams, four teams. I mean, what happens if they take four, Houston's a part of that four, and then Texas and OU decides, hey, we're done with the Big 12 and we move on somewhere else.
Yeah. So, you know, like it's concerning to Conference USA and to North Texas in that if the American Conference gets raided to an extent that they need replacements, those replacements would likely come pretty damn near sure coming from Conference USA. And those teams are probably not going to be including North Texas because SMU is going to be like, nah. So that means, I mean, like UTSA probably, or, you know, I don't know.
Southern Miss, Marshall, all those Western other, Kentucky. Yeah.
All the other the former conference mates of basically what is now the American Conference, so they're just going to redo the Conference USA of, you know, 5 years ago in the American Conference, and so that sucks for North Texas in that we might lose, you know, regional teams. Like it's great being able to travel down to San Antonio from Denton and catch a game, or out to Houston for the Rice game, or maybe even El Paso. I don't know, but that's less exciting. But you get the idea. All of that is a lot better than, you know, going out to Florida to play a conference foe in Florida. So that's the concern there, right? The other part is it could be that nothing could happen. Like nothing, like if the, like enough teams are poached, like Colorado State maybe and like a BYU and that's all of it, then North Texas might be safe because the American Conference will be like, maybe we'll just stand pat with what we have. We're not going to preemptively expand or contract or whatever. And everybody kind of stays where they are. Then that's probably good. But I think Conference USA teams might be looking for other destinations just given the terrible TV contract that exists right now.
Right. Yeah, everybody's looking for more money. And that's really what started this whole thing is that the ACC announced their television contract with ESPN And so the Big 12, they want to get on board. They want to have their own network. But, you know, Texas is kind of standing in their way of having their own network because they have the Longhorn Network, and they're not going to give it up. And why would you give it up when you're getting all that money from ESPN?
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is that the Big 12 is not going to get a really good TV contract without Texas. And so they kind of need Texas, but Texas is like, we don't need you guys because we already got our own. So there you go. I saw someone compare Texas to the Bobby Bonilla contract, the one where he was famously paid. They said, we're going to give you like, you know, $1 million a year for 20 years starting in 2010 if you just leave our team now. And we don't have to pay you the $6-7 million now in 2000. He did, and so he gets paid $1 million+ every year on June 1st. The sweetest deal in sports.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. There's realignment talk. We'll get that out of the way. This most recent news that's, you know, like I said, I'm not super excited about it. What you'll see on MainGreenNation.com is like link posts, basically. There's lots of other people excitedly writing about it and speculating about it. I kind of browse some of those and get the ones that kind of mean something to us and, you know, post it on there. The other thing, I've been kind of fiddling with the site a little bit. Hopefully it's a little bit easier to read. So if you guys are reading it and you're like, this doesn't make sense or this looks stupid, let me know so I can fix it. But basically right now, you know, I made some things clear, like some posts are just like link posts. They're not like actual articles. So I kind of made those a little easier to read. Some are just basically statuses where I just say what I say. So now let's talk about realignment again. That doesn't need to be a full on post. So it's a little easier to browse. But let me know if any of that looks weird to you guys, and I'll fix it. All right, let's get to another big topic in North Texas. The roster situation. I think Seth Luttrell mentioned at the alumni/donor meeting with the consultants. We should have music for the consultants.
The consultants would like to speak with you.
So he mentioned something like 68 roster spots or scholarship spots. And so we're short a bunch, you know, and how to fill that has been a subject of much discussion amongst the fan base, well, at least the online fan base. And lots of speculating about how that's going to happen. Like, is it blue shirts, some gray shirts, some walk-ons? Or what are we going to try to do? Where do you see, where do you see the solutions here, Greg?
There's not really any good solution. You don't want a blue shirt, too many people, take too many risks, and then you end up losing those scholarships for the next recruiting cycle. I mean, what happens if they do good and they're actually, you know, it limits the numbers that you can take next year. So it's a risk to do it that way. I'm okay with some of the guys that they're bringing in right now because I think they can contribute right away. It's been interesting. Been a lot of defensive guys that they brought in. So I don't think there's really any quick fixes for the roster management. It's just going to be – it's going to take time to, you know, get commits, to build recruits, you know, build those relationships, which I think our staff has done a tremendous job. I think Graham Harrell, you know, Mike, the defensive coordinator, Eckler, I think they've done great recruiting. I mean – especially even, you know, at the end of the year with these blue shirts that they're bringing in, these guys that can't even step foot on campus, they're talented players, and they're getting them to, you know, commit to North Texas. So, like I said, there's no easy fix. There's no easy solution. We just have to hope that the guys that they're bringing in can, you know, and that ended up with the last class, that are blue shirting for the next class. We just have to hope that those guys can come in and make impacts on the field next year.
Yeah, I think the guys that are most concerning to people are like the big JUCO signings, or four of them that were pretty important that people were excited about. What's it? Friend of the blog, Billy Sierra, he posted this on GumandGreen.com a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, basically, four guys are not on the roster right now. William Johnson, D. Balkman, Darius Turner, Cody Hayes. And, you know, I think we're down to just 10 linemen now, and that's kind of a concern, excuse me. I think the thing about this blue shirt thing, if you want to kind of explain it, or I can explain it, but it's basically just, you know, as you kind of hinted at, putting them on the scholarship thing for the next season and not this season. And the other thing is, like, I think a lot of these JUCO guys are going to be on the roster in the fall when it matters. It doesn't really matter right now. Right. I think right now just kind of administrative, kind of, you know, dot and T's, dot and I's. I don't care too much, because I think, was it, D. Balkman, like, tweeted that he was in Denton, you know what I mean? So he's at the very least on or near campus. So you want to explain some of that blue shirting thing so that people know?
I mean, basically, it's just, and I'm not a recruiting expert, but I believe that it has to be a recruit that will commit to you. Their scholarship will count towards next year's class. So the guys that you've seen, the quarterback, I can't think of his name, O'Hara, Quentin Jackson, the wide receiver, Eric Jenkins, the defensive back, Ravion Houston, the defensive end. Those guys are blue shirts. They didn't take official visits to campus, so they can go ahead, do this thing called a blue shirt, and they count towards next year's recruiting class. So, yeah, it's risky when you do it that way. But again, some of these guys were probably late qualifiers, so they didn't have – other teams weren't willing to take that risk. They're not in the situation like where we are, where – we could take the risk, and we need to take the risk, so we can go ahead, give these guys a scholarship and say, come play, you know, for us right now. You'll count towards next year.
Yeah. And, yeah, the whole thing is kind of weird with the recruiting rules and things. I'm not an expert either, so I had to Google some of this stuff. I think of the four guys, two of the guys, Cody Hayes, William Johnson, are the most iffy. I think some people have said that. I think I've seen you write that in the Slack, and I've seen other people tweet at it or tweet at me. So there you go. They're the most iffy. They're the most concerning question marks.
They're probably the most concerning because they're the most needed. Yeah. Will Johnson was probably the highlight of the recruiting class.
I think he was, though. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you just see an instant playmaker at linebacker. And with, you know, the multiple defense, the 3-3-5, 4-2-5, you know, we're going to have so many different fronts. You want to have people that can play, you know, be multiple, be playmakers. He fits that role. And then obviously with the offensive line depth, moving to a passing offense, you know, we saw kind of in the spring game where the offensive line struggled. We need a guy like Cody Hayes to come in, provide depth. He's a talented player. Those are two guys that we really need to have come fall, any way possible to, you know, get them on the roster. And then if both those guys show up, you start to feel a little bit better about last year's recruiting class, and you feel better about what Seth Luttrell's. It's almost like a win. It's almost like a win in the fall before you've even played the game. So we got these guys on campus. We're ready to go.
Yeah, I think those are some good points. Speaking of the defense and the shift, was it in some quotes from the Dave Campbell's Texas Football 2016 issue? Was it defensive end Joseph Zoglu said, it's one of the greatest defenses I've seen. We are really good in it. Bryce English said, I remember Coach Luttrell tweeting that UNT will never not be in a bowl again. With the talent that was here before and what we're adding, the sky's the limit. I think some of these are just kind of normal spring, summer, hype. I mean, everybody, literally every team has a dude saying this. We're going to be so good putting in that work through the summer. Y'all don't even know. Y'all get ready. Shock the world. Everybody's saying this, and that's all great. I'm excited about it. I like it. The defense, especially the center of the defense, is going to be the biggest question because it didn't matter. Like, you know, there's the defensive backs that we had, even with the injuries last year, they had some moments when we had some defensive pressure, and that was mostly in the UTSA game, the one game we won, when the defensive line was getting to the backfield and making the quarterback make hasty decisions under pressure. All of a sudden, it looked like we had a pretty good defense. The following week, Louisiana Tech just basically ran up the middle on us, you know, like right through the A-gap. And, yeah, I mean, that's – you can scheme up anything, but if they're just knocking you off the ball right down the middle – It doesn't matter. And that's where we got to get better. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing. The fronts, this, that, and the other, 3-3-5, exciting attacking defense, hopefully. I mean, teams have done some things with some undersized defensive rosters. Thinking of like West Virginia in the early aughts and even some of those other 3-3-5 squads that Rich Rod had some of those years.
Yeah, his Arizona squad, Scooby Wright, up the middle. Yeah, it allows you to be multiple. If your 3-3-5 is your base defense, you can line up, you can make it look like so many different things. It can look like a 3-4, it can look like a 4-3, it can look like a 4-2-5. You know, and we've got some players that fit that role. You know, the one linebacker, Calvin Miner, who kind of was in the body of, is he a safety, is he a linebacker? And they had him at linebacker. Now he kind of fits that fifth, you know, defensive player, you know, whether he's kind of, you can call it your rover, some dog, whatever you want to call that fifth player, whatever they're going to call him, he fits that role. So he can kind of play as like their nickelback, I think is how they listed it on their spring depth chart. You know, he can provide, you know, help in run situations. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say for like you really, really old school football fans. So Tom Landry kind of, he came up with like the defense that kind of attacks at some angles and they're a little bit undersized, you know. That's basically what we're kind of trying to do here. Like, we're not going to beat them straight up. We don't have the size to say, you know what, we're going to line straight up and knock your offensive lineman off the ball and get into the backfield. We don't have that. So being multiple, being speedy, making the offensive line think about their protections, think about their run blocks, gives us enough, you know, time to make a play. And that's really it. That's essentially, when you boil it all the way down, that's the philosophy underlying all of this stuff. You can get into more detail, and we will get into more detail about how it works, how it's constructed and stuff. But that's kind of the essence of a 3-3-5. You're like, you know, we'll get undersized guys that play faster. We'll out-scheme you a little bit. I mean, it's still a big guy knocking another guy down kind of game, but, you know, it's hard to knock him down if you don't know where he's going to be.
I mean, we have some guys that I feel like can make an impact with better coaching on the defensive side. You know, we didn't get to see a lot of Tillman Johnson last year, who had, you know, the really good freshman year before he got hurt. We know that Jerrion Roberts, he can make plays at times. It just seems other times, I don't know what happens if, you know, maybe the strength and conditioning wasn't there, but he's made plays. You know, yeah, I think he had, what, like 6 sacks last year? Six and a half sacks. We all thought, you know, Combs was going to be, you know, a world beater from watching all those Periscope videos. And, you know, he kind of disappointed. But sometimes JUCOs take 2 years, so this will be his second year. I think the big piece is really Bryce English. If he's eligible to play, then he immediately fills that need in the middle of the line like you were talking about. We got TJ. We got Roderick Young there. But we need, you know, Bryce English, who, you know, off the field, been a great cheerleader, been a great, you know, supporter of the program. He's tweeting out stuff. You know, the kid that's transferring from Texas, Ryan Newsom, he's like, hey, come join us in Denton, you know.
Yeah, Bryce English is, 5'11", 295. That's who he's listed as. And, I mean, he has talent. We don't really have the size, like, of, you know.
He's 5'11", yeah. English is 5'11", 332.
Now he's 332. Is that what he's listed?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Hopefully that's all good weight, too, and not just, you know, just eating. Like the weight that I'm putting on now that I'm a new dad. Or just, kids eating, I'm eating.
His whole job would probably be to just, you know, eat space. You know, take two guys up, let our guys fly to the ball. So
yeah.
I don't know if he's going to play. It's still kind of up in the air. He hasn't. He's a transfer. He applied for the waiver, but they've been so stingy with waivers and that whole situation lately. I haven't heard whether or not he was going to play or not. He thinks he's going to play. He's excited. Why can't we be excited?
Yeah, let's assume that he's going to play. Let's just assume right now. So there you go. There's some roster talk. Like I said, now's not really the time to really get overly concerned about this. One, because unless you work for the team, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you just, what, bitch about it, I guess, online? I mean, nobody really – it's not going to help things. I'm fairly sure that – like you said, everybody's out there recruiting. They're trying to make it work. We pay these guys millions of dollars to figure it out. And here's hoping they do, crossing my fingers. I will say that Seth Luttrell, somebody told me, he was down here at the Texas High School football convention thing. They're like, I didn't really like how he left the convention a little bit early. When you got this guy, Morris, SMU's dude, he's out here shaking hands, you know, late into the night, making buddies, making friends. We need Seth out there doing the same thing. Now, I mean, this is all anecdotal. But there you go. I'll throw it out there for you to speculate about. I didn't see it. It's third hand. There you go.
I mean, you know, he doesn't. I don't know. That's
no. Like that's, I said, I don't really want to talk about that a whole lot, just because, you know, like I said, one, we don't know exactly what happened. You never know. Maybe he was like, I got to get back because, you know, something. I'll talk to you guys later. Or, you know, maybe, who knows what he did? Who knows? Maybe they got their fill of him. They're like, that was great talking to Seth. And this other guy's like, I'm going to stay longer because everybody was talking to him. I don't know.
You know, Seth reminds me of one of those guys, kind of like myself. Like, I got shit to do, and I don't need to sit around. You know, I understand, you know, build relationships and all that. He's got his coaches out there. They're probably still there. They're doing a great job building relationships. Mm-hmm. But again, he probably has shit to do. So he can, you know, hang around the conference, you know, a couple more days and not get anything accomplished, or he can get back to work. He's got plenty to do. He's got probably the worst roster in America. So, hey, let's, you know, we got to figure some stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, Kenneth Dixon had 195 and 6 touchdowns right up through the middle. So we got to figure that out.
That was the day that my wife and I, we had our baby shower. And it was raining. It was cold. And thank you for reminding me that.
Hey, you're welcome, man. Anytime. Anytime. So just while we're on the subject of Dave Campbell's Texas football, what is it? Because this is basically written by Vito. We're just basically reading Vito's, you know, assessment of it and his little story. He said that he called the SMU game our biggest game of the year. Game of the year. Interestingly, Mike Craven, the Rivals guy for UTSA, lists the UTSA-UNT game as their game of the year. Does that matter? No, not really. I mean, every game's a big game, you know. But, I would still, you know, I personally, because I interact with a lot of UTSA folks, I really would just like to beat UTSA.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to win those games like that, but Brett is thinking logically that if we start off on a good foot, we beat SMU, we'll beat Bethune-Cookman, then we'll go to Florida, we'll probably hang with Florida then we go to Rice, then maybe, you know, it all starts with a good start. So if we beat SMU, which is a winnable game, then you start getting the players to feel the confidence, buy into the system more, and having a little bit more fun. So I can understand, but I would, right now, I'd put SMU as the most important game, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's that first game in your career carries huge importance, but it doesn't really. I mean, it's important for a little bit. I mean, our first game, Charlie Strong's first game was against us. Our first game, was it 2014? It was against Texas, and that was a big game for him. But then, you know, like, it doesn't matter. It didn't really matter in the long term for old Charlie Strong. I mean, now,
right? You know, long term, no, but for the season, yeah, it means, and recruiting,
yeah.
But you know, for the success of next season, starting off with a win against SMU would be huge. I mean, it could just ignite the confidence of a team, you know, that everybody's beating down, and then they become, you know, hey, it's us against the world. And I mean, then you never know what can happen from that.
I mean, agree to disagree. I mean, at the end of the year, I think there's long-term implications, maybe. Whatever.
I get where you're coming from.
I know. I'm not disagree. I don't want to really get into it and have a debate. It's not first take on your man. What was I going to say? that kind of leads us into some talk about upsets and things. We're kind of getting to the point where we can start thinking about what the offense is going to kind of sort of look like. And Aldo Avina was writing a couple things about the air raid. And there's lots of stuff online you can find about, figure out about it. What I like about it is that when it's on, you can really hang with anybody. You know what I mean? It's really hard to defend when the quarterback is really cooking and, you know, everything's clicking. Mm-hmm. And it's for that reason that I think we can probably give some teams trouble, and especially a team like SMU that is feeling good about themselves. You know, last year they had a, like, oh, we were so close. We were scoring a lot, but couldn't really play defense. They're still in that rebuilding mode, you know, and they're not a fully formed thing yet where they can handle, you know, a new thing like us so easily, because they're trying to figure out what they're going to be still. And so they don't really have a whole lot of time to devote to figuring out how to stop other teams. And that's why I feel like we could just jump up on it, because North Texas is a completely new thing right now, you know. Whereas before you're like, well, it's a new, different roster. We don't know what the quarterback's going to be like, but we know they're going to try to run the ball, and we know how they're going to defend. You can't say that anymore, you know. You don't know how often we're going to throw. You can maybe get an idea based on Latrell and Harrell's history, but you don't know what this roster is going to look like. You don't know what they got cooked up. It could be anything. A lot of it hangs on Alec Morris. Right. And you have some high hopes about him, don't you?
I do. I think that in the spring game, they focused more on passing the ball because they knew that's the one area that they really had to work on probably the most. I mean, you know, having a guy like Jeffrey Wilson in the backfield, you're like, okay, we're set there. But it that part is still a little concerning because we don't know how well the offensive line is going to play. But getting back to Morris, yes, I'm excited about him. He's probably one of the highest rated recruits when in Conference USA. I think the other guy I was talking about was Greenlee going to UTEP, who I think is going to play well too. But Morris is one of those guys. He played in the spread system in high school. He comes back to us. He's a graduate student. He's, you know, been around in the SEC. He's been to big venues. And I think that he really is the most important piece of our offense. You know, like you said, if the quarterback gets cooking, who knows what we can do against Florida? Who knows what we can do, you know, against SMU? Who knows what we can do against some of the teams in our conference? He really is the key. And I feel like if the offensive line gives him time, if they give him time to, you know, make the decisions that he has to make, gives the time for the wide receivers to get open, this offense could be something special. It could be better, certainly, than it's been in the past years.
I have no doubt that we will, you know, exceed the passing and total offense yardage totals and per game totals of the last 3 years. Even Derek Thompson won, the one that, you know, longtime defenders are hyping. I think we're going to beat that pretty easily in the next couple years. You know, again, just to kind of paint a fuller picture of what we'll likely be seeing here, is that the quarterback in this offense is very important. All quarterbacks are important, but Mike Leach, you know, the air raid guy that most people are familiar with, puts a lot of responsibility on the quarterback. Not necessarily pressure, but it is kind of pressure. It's responsibility to make the throws, decide the kind of throws, and decide the kind of plays. It's almost kind of old school Johnny Unitas style, where he goes up and calls his own play. I think Mike Leach has said before where he's like, I'm going to give you a play, and if, you know, it's the wrong play, then I'm going to kind of get mad at you, because I'm like, I'm the coach. I see over here. I can only see certain things. You're on the field, and you're watching what's happening. So if we're in a bad play, you got to get us out of the play. And depending on the guy, that could be either super terrifying or invigorating and, you know, exciting. And it sounds like Graham Harrell thinks that Alec Morris is the kind of guy that's, you know, going to be able to thrive in that kind of situation. They liked what he has there. Right now, like in the spring, he didn't really play that well. He played okay. I think more people were excited about old Quinn Snyder over there. what did I say? Quinn Snyder? It's Quinn Chambord. Yeah,
I got talking about the basketball.
Yeah, I got the basketball coach in my head. yeah, so more people were excited about him because he's running around and stuff, but And that's fun, but, you know, like, I think Morris is the guy. He's the best guy. He's the best option. I think he's going to give us some really good games. So there you go. We'll see more of Alec Morris, you know, as the first game rolls around. I mean, I guess we're going to see the biggest, you know, dose of him in that first game. All right, what else do we have going on here? Well, Keyshawn McClain got a preseason award. I don't really care about those kinds of things. How do you feel about preseason awards? But, you know, congratulations to Keyshawn McClain. It's a nice honor, but I don't look at it like, all right, he's got a preseason award, therefore, X, Y, Z, you know.
Well, I think it was voted on by the coaches. Yeah. So, it, you know, first team. So, obviously, the coaches around the league think highly of him, too. And we all do. We know he's, you know, one of our best, if not our best, defensive player. He made a lot of plays last year because he was forced to. I think what it says about the rest of the roster is, though, that they don't think very highly of what we got. You know, I thought maybe some of them would have thrown Wilson on there because they listed four running backs. But they chose was Jarvion from UTSA. I didn't think that he deserved to be up there.
I disagree with you there. I think he put up a lot of big numbers, and he showed some things.
Okay, but, Jeffrey Wilson showed some things, too, in a bad offense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, he shouldn't have been nominated. I think that the thing about Jeffrey Wilson is that he has, like, the injury thing. That's kind of his reputation right now. And also, I mentioned this in the Slack conversation. Jeffrey Wilson gets 1,000 yards if he can stay healthy. Because he had 830 in a terrible offense with some injuries. And if the passing game is keeping everybody honest, then and keeping everybody spread out and not letting them stack the line and things, I mean, he can run. He can run for days. I mean, he has a speed. He has that, you called it the Adrian Peterson thing. There's like the advanced stats to say that, you know, the first 4 yards are you give that to the offensive line and everything past that, the explosive runs, you give that to the running back. He had, you know, I think he was averaging like 6.2 for a while there.
Right.
And I mean, once he gets out there, he can power through some guys. He can put up some big games if he stays healthy.
Yeah. I'm not saying that Jarvion isn't a good player. I'm just saying that he wasn't deserving of a first team award. They had maybe three running backs is all you needed to take. But even still, you know, Ito Smith from Southern Miss, maybe he deserved that, maybe not. He's a good back, but he didn't really do a lot last year. So they're projecting him to do a lot this year. There's still Leon Allen at Western Kentucky. He was hurt all of last year. But he was a first-team guy coming into last year before he got hurt, so why isn't he a guy that's on the list? I agree with the dude from Charlotte, and the other guy, I think Furby, was from Western Kentucky as well, too. So
yeah, I mean, again, this is why I don't really get excited about preseason awards lists. They're basically who's left of who did good last year, right? Who put up big numbers last year and is still on the roster, didn't graduate, whatever. And, you know, so it's not necessarily this guy could be good. Let's give him, you know, like, otherwise Alec Morris might be on there because, everybody thinks that he's probably going to do well. But, of course not, because he didn't do well last year. He hasn't shown anything. So it's basically a 2015 award, but now. So it's kind of weird. I mean, I like the end-of-the-year awards. They show you what people did. I like the week-by-week awards, you know. The preseason projection stuff is cool, but it doesn't really tell you anything. It's more of like, hey, it's advertising for the season. That's what that is.
Yeah, the slam dunk on that was the offensive player of the year, Nick Mullins. He's probably going to be that. Barring an injury, I don't foresee anybody else uprooting him as offensive player of the year. He's so much of that their offense. He's the best quarterback in the league in a, you know, we'll say a fairly wide open spread offense type of league.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to put up the best numbers. They're still a good team at Southern Miss. So, you know, that was the, you know, if anything, maybe just call out, say, you know, this guy's our preseason offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, and, you know, the rest is whatever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, once you start going four or five deep, it's just, you're really just saying, who's good on their team? Oh, yeah, you should be pretty good. I mean, and that's cool, but, you know, I don't know, whatever. I want to talk briefly about recruiting. We kind of hinted at it. I think the biggest, how do you say, like, news, or the one that I was paying attention to, sort of, was Frank Harris committing to UTSA over UNT, among others. I didn't really think that North Texas had the greatest shot at him, or that it would have been, I don't know, the best fit. But Jared Kalmus of Underdog Dynasty was like, yeah, this was the biggest name for UTSA in a long while, maybe the biggest recruit. So I already know that. I don't really think that we're losing battles to them. But do you feel like this is like a major battle lost in the recruiting wars between the Texas schools here?
No, I don't think it's a major. I think in your city, you live in San Antonio. So yeah. I think this kid is kind of
San
like
Antonio. Well,
he's almost like a LeBron James of high school football for San Antonio. There was no way that he was going to go anywhere else unless somebody like Texas or maybe even a Houston or Baylor offered him as a quarterback. UTSA offered him as a quarterback. I mean, he couldn't shun his hometown team to go play for the rival up north. Yeah. It just didn't make sense. From everything I've heard, he loved Graham Harrell. He loved Seth Luttrell, the offense, all that stuff. But again, he was going to stay, play at home in front of his family, friends, because he could be a, you know, a sports hero for them.
Local legend, yeah.
I mean, so I don't know. He's a good player. He's exciting. It would have been great to have him. I don't know if he fits the Seth Luttrell offense, like you said, the offense, you know, slinging the ball around, which is what we think they're going to do. He probably fits Frank Harris and their pro style, you know, more run-based offense. I like the kid that we got, Cade Peters, Pearson.
Yeah.
I do. And I'm not the only guy that likes him, so.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think we got a good fit for our what we think will be our offense. That said, old Cliff Kingsbury out there in Lubbock, the wasteland that is Lubbock, he has a guy. What's that, Seth? Was that Mahomes? Is that whatever?
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that guy. He runs around a lot. So there you go. I mean, there's room to innovate in this thing. I mean, you know, I'm sure a smart football mind can get a guy that likes to run and integrate him into an offense. I don't think he would have fit so seamlessly.
Yeah, well, and I guess another name you can kind of throw up there is Johnny Manziel. He had him.
Yeah.
Sumlin had him. They made him successful. Obviously, he's a failure now, but yeah, so.
But it's only because he went to the Browns, you know? The Browns did that to the dude.
No, you know, Harris probably could have come here and maybe done something. I don't know. I just didn't see, and of course, we're just watching highlight film because that's all we can see, really. We're not actually watching film. We're watching highlights.
Yeah.
So many people are like, you know, I watched the film today. No, you watched the highlights. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so in his highlights, you don't really see him make a ton of throws that get you excited. You see the athleticism that's off the charts, touchdowns, scoring, all that stuff, but the guy that we got, Cade Pearson, kind of under the radar type of guy, I would say right now.
Yeah.
They list him as a 2-star. I think he could be a 3-star by the end of this year. I think he fits perfectly for what they want to do. Enough athleticism to move around in the pocket, throws it more, makes good decisions. So, you know, I'm excited about him. But getting back to, you know, your original question, you know, it was a great recruiting win for them, but I don't think it was a huge loss for us.
Yeah, I think that in that recruiting battle, they obviously had the home field advantage there that kind of put them over the top. If you stick Frank Harrison, like, you know, Waco, and then say, I think North Texas probably has a better shot. I agree with you. The other thing I wanted to kind of mention, I mean, North Texas is very hard to recruit to. For the top tier, the easy guys, right? The guys that you open up the magazine, like, who are the top, you know, 1,800 running backs? Those guys, those are really hard to get. But the fall through the cracks guys, right? The ones that you have to work for, You know, the quarterback we got, Jeffrey Wilsons of the world, the guys that you're like, you don't know just right away that they're really good. They can come here. Texas has a lot of talent. And North Texas has something of a history getting you guys like this. Lance Dunbar, I mean, you know, Patrick Cobbs. There's a lot of guys that came through here that did some things that were successful that weren't, you know, on the cover of Dave Campbell's, you know, magazine. Right. So if you put in the work, and I think the staff is doing the work, and I think Dan McCartney probably wasn't, you can get some good guys. Even the guy with the worst record in North Texas history, Todd Dodge, who also was on the Dave Campbell's magazine cover, he got some talented guys in here. And that's, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, why did we lose? Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. But he got some guys in here, and they did some things. You can get talent here. I'm not really concerned about the ability to draw in talent. Now, right. Obviously, we're going to be kind of in a low point here getting these guys in because we lost to Portland State by 1,000 points, and we had a terrible season, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. But I think the key thing for as we go forth in recruiting, and Mike Eckler, you know, the defensive coordinator, pointed this out in one of his exit interviews at Georgia. It's not just about recruiting the stars. Mm-hmm. It's about recruiting a guy that you have evaluated that you can make better.
Mm-hmm.
Can you coach him up on the field? You know, our staff has to do a great job at evaluating who they can bring in, who's under the radar, and who they can develop. And then once they get here, they have to do a great job coaching them on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're a little bit behind the curve in that, yes, they're not going to get all the big-time players right now, you know, but they can still convince some kids based upon, you know, their previous success of what they did, what the offense, you know, we're going to be exciting. You know, that's kind of probably they're selling a lot of kids now, you know, done with the old stuff, in with the new Denton, you know, all the cool slogans that they've come up with. We're going to bring you in here and we're going to coach you really hard and we're going to make you a better player. And, you know, I think that a lot of the guys that have committed or interested, I think they like the point that the staff isn't really, you know, they're not BSers. I don't get the, you know, Seth Luttrell, we talked about it earlier. Same thing with Graham Harrell. I think he just wants to go to work. I think Mike Eckler, he just wants to go to work. I think the kids enjoy that part of it.
Yeah. I think an easy thing to point to, if you're like, well, North Texas, are they any good? You look at the NFL rosters that people see. Hey, Zach Orr is on Ravens. Hey, Robertson, I think he left the Browns, but he's looking for a gig. Right?
He's on the Saints.
Yeah. And then obviously Lance Dunbar, you know, playing for the Dallas Cowboys. All that stuff adds to the conversation. It adds to the argument. It's not the argument, but it adds to the argument. So, hey, you can, you know, if you have dreams of going pro here, you can do it. You can go to North Texas and get to the NFL. That's your goal. It's possible. You just got to put in the work, like you said. And then we got some guys that can help you get there. You know, Graham Harrell spent some time in the NFL. This guy knows what he's talking about. So, you know, we're not – it feels like we're just destitute, right? We're like, oh, God, we're the worst team in – I mean, every university goes through a period where they're embarrassing. And ours has been for an absurdly long time, but hey, looking back at that 2014 Heart of Dallas Bowl, that was real fun, guys. That was really fun. And even you could say, look, between the worst UNT coach in history, and then the coach that that produced the worst loss in university history, we managed to get a bowl game with one guy's talent and the other guy's coaching. So things could happen here. You know what I mean? Do you see what I'm saying there? Like, this guy, worst coach in history, got the talent. This guy that coached the worst game in history, he won a bowl game with that talent. And that's not bad. That bowl game was fun. I was looking back through the times there. It was good times. Good times.
Good times indeed.
All right. The other thing that came out these past couple weeks was the basketball schedule And I kind of wanted to talk a little bit. Oh, yeah, a little bit more on that bowl game before I completely move on. I mean, Zach Gore came back to town, and he, you know, he held up the Heart of Dallas Bowl trophy, and that was real fun, too. He took a picture with it.
You know? It was only the beginning. It wasn't the end, right? Oh, God. Oh, it was the end.
It was the end. But they can't take that one away from us. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So that's fine. There you go. That's the other thing I wanted to mention. So the basketball schedule. Speaking of what was once great and now is ungreat, how are you feeling about the basketball team? And I guess we can use the schedule as a starting point. I mean, there's not a whole lot of games on this thing that are super exciting. The Texas Tech game is, I mean, but Tech's not really that great. We're on the road to start the season with that game. It mostly reminds me of how Josh White led North Texas to beat Texas Tech at the Super Pit way back when. And that's about it. So,
yeah.
Any highlights from that?
No, I think, you know, the dark cloud over the athletic department right now is the basketball coach. Yeah. Do they have some talent? Yes. They have some talent. But they're approaching it like, I don't know, like, you know, nobody else in the league got better except for us. You know, we got the dude from SMU that transferred in, you know. He's a superstar. He's an NBA talent. Yeah, he's not bad, but he's not a transcendent player like, you know, Tony was. So, I don't know. It's hard to be excited about this basketball season knowing enough about the guy that's coaching the team. And the guy that they lost, their assistant coach, I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now. He was probably their best tactician in game, which is where we know they struggle the most. So, it's not something I feel warm and fuzzy about. I haven't thought much about the basketball team at all. I've seen some of the tweets from their coach Shelton, you know, some of the guys working out and whatnot. You know, Tony Benford's been able to recruit guys. He's been able to get some talent here. The issue has been his coaching and, you know, his ability to produce and get wins. And it's just, I don't know. It's just pitiful. You wish that we would have had an athletic director in here soon enough to fire him.
Well, that's certainly one way to put it. I don't know. I don't want to get too depressed on the podcast right now because we're just kind of talking about it. I'll just say that I agree that it's not really easy to be excited about the team right now. Right. And I think we'll just leave it there. I think you kind of finished it up. So unless there's anything else you want to talk about, I think we're about done with this episode.
I think the one thing that'll be interesting, they're going to hire an athletic director in the next couple weeks, probably pretty soon here. Wouldn't be surprised if we hear something by Friday. Is how much pressure, you know, does the new guy, athletic director, how much power does he have? How much pressure does it put on a guy like Seth Luttrell? Because Seth Luttrell wasn't his guy. You know, a lot of times you see a new athletic director come in and then they want their guy and whatnot. So how much pressure does it put on, you know, because obviously, you know, we know Luttrell, he has a huge rebuilding project on his hand. How much pressure does the new athletic director come in and say, you know, okay, you have this 1 year grace period, but really we know as fans and we know as, you know, sports fans and the way that the things work today that if you're going to be serious as an athletic program, that the minute, you know, that the ball's kicked off against SMU, the clock's ticking against Luttrell. He better win games.
Yeah, I think that's if he's anything like the president, and right, the president's kind of doing the hiring here. He waited a while. He saw what he had, and then he made a decision on it after, you know, he didn't like what he saw. And I mean, that sounds kind of simplistic, but that's basically what we want. It's just a good way to evaluate anybody, in my opinion. You know, you don't just say, well, this wasn't mine, let me throw this away. So you wait a second. I don't know. I think that Seth Luttrell is a decent-ish hire. I mean, I'm kind of excited about him. I think maybe he doesn't have some of the excitement that maybe the TCU guy did. You know, Seth Luttrell's a little understated. He's not really a rah-rah guy. He seems, you know, kind of, I guess, what is it, quiet, you know? But are those reasons to not be the head coach in North Texas? I don't think so. I mean, maybe he can just say, well, could you maybe hire a guy that's going to do this? Or maybe the athletic director steps out and does more of that role. You know, you work as a team. You go to your strengths. Seth Luttrell's primary goal, his primary duty is to win football games at the University of North Texas. So if he's unable to do that in a reasonable situation, then, you know. So I don't think firing him or putting him on a hot seat after the SMU game, coming off a season, and a terrible season with a roster with only 68 scholarship players, is a reasonable amount of pressure to put on him. I think you probably got to give him three to five years to really, you know, get an idea. And along the way, I mean, we should be heading towards success. So, yeah, I mean, within this, hey, let's not be embarrassing. I think that's a good goal. Hey, let's not be a laughingstock. That's a good goal. You know, be entertaining, you know, within reason. That's a good goal, too. And I think we can get to that point. They'll be fine. That'll go a long way to mending fences with the fan base, making sure that we don't lose a freshman class of students, you know, coming in here like, oh, God, you're getting beat. Let's go play Pokemon. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's how that works, I think. People are fine with the losing season. You know, you can't win them all. But consistently losing and showing zero signs of progress are not really acceptable. Or, you know, like normal cycles are fine. You know, building up to a really good season, that's fine. And you're like, all right, we lost other players or seniors. Next season we're not going to be so good, but we'll be there as the new guys kind of learn the system, learn how we do things, get game experience. We'll build up for another run in 3 years, you know, 4 years. Mm-hmm. I think people will be fine with that. But, I mean, we should be, if things are going according to plan in football and basketball, then this year, 2016, we should be competing for another bowl game. We should have some of those guys that got experience. You know, like Dejon Williams should be in his, you know, senior year now, getting ready to lead this team to, you know, he should be on the preseason award watch list or whatever. But he's not, because we messed that up. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. I think we're in a good spot, but not a great spot, obviously. Terrible TV contract, guys. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap this up. I think I put out I sent an email, and I had a pretty big typo that I didn't even notice until later, so maybe the dude does notice. To get credentialed, for Greg to get credentialed, because I'm down here in Santa Fe. I'm not going up there for the Conference USA media days. We'll see. Greg might be out there. He's going to take a little video camera, record some of his interviews. Oh, this is Greg from MeetingGreenNation.com. Let me ask you. Coach, let me ask you. So we might get some of that, or we might not. We might get turned down flat. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. We'll see if anybody respects us as a media organization.
Maybe so. Maybe I'll just walk in there.
I think I'll be like, wait, Greg? Is this the same? This Greg Goat-Ticker? No, we're not letting this do it. Cool. So we'll see. So next week, Monday, Tuesday, Conference USA Media Days. At the very least, we'll be kind of keeping track of what happens, what people say. A lot of it's going to be pretty standard, you know, coach speak and things. I don't really expect much insight there, do you?
Oh, no. Not from Seth Luttrell.
No.
I'm wondering, I think more of the thing that I'm watching for is, who does he take? Is it going to be like Alec Morris? It won't be Kenny Byers, probably, because he's a wide receiver backup. He would be the guy, though. I mean, I would take those two guys, but okay. So you know one has got to be Alec Morris. It's just got to be.
Yeah.
And then who's the guy that he takes from defense? Does he take Keyshawn McClain?
I mean, depending on how well Keyshawn can handle an interview, I think you got to take him. It's like, here's our best defensive player, according to the coaches, right? He was ranked the highest or awarded an actual preseason award, so you can talk to him. I think if you think that the preseason awards are basically advertising for the seasons, then, yeah, you have to take Keyshawn McClain. But, I mean, if he's a terrible interview, I don't know the guy, he might be. Then you're like, he's not going to be able to stand up to.
I'd like Seth Luttrell just to troll everybody and take Will Johnson, the linebacker. Yeah, we don't know if he's going to qualify, but we're going to bring him in here.
Now, Coach, he's not on the roster right now, officially. Like, yeah, well, yeah, I know. It'll sort itself out. That would be funny. I think all the message boards would explode. Implode, probably. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're done. Don't forget, you can tweet at us. I'm Mean Green Nation on Twitter. Greg is MGN_breakdown on Twitter. You can email us and you can figure that out. You can go to the website and click on Masthead. You can click on the email and send us an email. There's a contact form there. There's lots of ways you can get in touch with me, with the show, with Greg. And we appreciate any and all feedback. I really do like feedback. On my other podcast, well, I'm going to go ahead and say the Mean Green Nation podcast today is brought to you by my other podcast, DerangedPenguin.com. And just bring it up just because we got some funny feedback last week, and it was good. It was hilarious, and it helped us improve the show, and that's what we like. I mean, we can't improve if you're just like, man, I hate that stupid podcast, and you just tell your friend, because I don't know your friend, you know? You tell me, then I can fix it, maybe. Maybe. Maybe I can't. Dude, your voice is stupid. I hate it. I can't fix that. So there you go.
I think they have a cream for that.
Yeah, they probably got a cream for it. Or maybe I'll just like hire a voiceover dude, and I'll just give that. I'll give him a point. So I'm like, yeah, you know, we really should. And he'd be like, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we really should focus on more on the run game, and that'll work. That's how I would do it. Maybe if I can afford it. All right, we're done joking around, ladies and gentlemen. Greg, I'm Adam. Thanks for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast. Go Mean Green.